Hey, what's up, everyone? This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. That is where you're going to get your next vehicle. We have all kinds of pre-owned units on the lot, trucks, SUVs, sedans, electric, hybrid. You got to get at me, at Norman Oak Ridge Ford. We are the place for your next vehicle, new or used. It's a global marketplace right now. oakridgeford.com. Check it out. Prices are great, and I'll certainly help you out because you're an OG and a convert. It is January 4th, Thursday. This Thursday spectacular, as our friend from Detroit, Masadakis, is indicating. Mr. Rogello, the Maple Leafs, 2-0 on their Western swing. 5 goals for, 1 goal against. Martin Jones, flashbacks of his 2016 Stanley Cup run with the Sharks. A 31-save shutout against the Kings, his once rival. And then the Leafs just pepper the goaltender on the next night, the Ducks goaltender, like his name escapes me, but 57 shots.
Yeah, Lucas Dostal.
Yeah, Dostal. 57 shots, taking it in overtime. Auston Matthews' torrid goal scoring pace continues on. You really can't pin this team down, Michael Piaggiello from Chictawaga, New York. You can't pin them down because every time we think they're going to go on a sucky run, they go on and beat a team that we didn't think they would and then eke out a win and get on a bit of a streak, Mike. Good evening.
Good evening, Norm. Well, I mean, they had lost 5 of 6 coming into this road trip, and L.A. was the most difficult of the three games. They arguably played their best game of the year against the Kings. They shut them out. The Kings are not a powerhouse offensively, but they're good. I believe they beat the Leafs in Toronto when they played earlier in the season. But defensively, the Leafs played very well. And, you know, I think the thing so far in these two games is that they've stepped up their physicality and sort of their sticking up for one another, which is, you know, something that I think is necessary. But the blueprint, the usual Maple Leaf blueprint, almost kicked in last night because they beat the team that some people thought that they would have trouble with, the Kings. Mm-hmm. And then against the Ducklings, you know, the young Ducks with who had 2 or 3 players out because of illness, playing their backup goalie, Lucas Dostal, who did his best Jacques Plante imitation. He makes 55 saves, and they come within 5 minutes of getting shut out by one of the worst teams in the league, although albeit a young and rebuilding team. Almost came within 5 minutes of being shut out 1-0 by them. Now
that's as leafy a win as you're going to get, though, Michael. Leaving it late, getting stoned by a guy who has no business probably even being in the league,
well,
and then pulling it on overtime. That's as leafy as it gets, especially in 23-24.
He's a good prospect. He's a good young goaltender, but with the defense of the Ducks the way it is, and with players out due to injury and illness, that should be a team. Even in the second of back-to-back games, that's a team that they should kick their butt. And,
I'll
say this. Dostal was fantastic, and the Leafs had a number of chances. They simply could not beat him until that power play late in regulation. And then the great goal by Marner setting up Auston Matthews for the game winner in overtime. So they get 4 points, much needed if you look at the standings right now. Every point counts right now, and they're only a couple points ahead of they're 4 points ahead of Tampa Bay. They're only a couple points ahead on the 2 wild card spots.
Right
now, they can't afford to have a long losing streak, which they are just coming out of, and they'll need 2 points against San Jose on Saturday.
This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. Norman London, Mike in Buffalo. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Check out our Convo Shorts. They are on fire right now, especially Mr. Rogello pontificating, going wild. A couple of comments here. Lisa Nicole, welcome to the show. Give Nylander whatever he wants. I mean, he's on a, 110-point pace this season. This is his best season, bar none. But not just statistically. The man is, you know, he's just almost guaranteed night in and night out to do something that benefits the team. This is as good as he's been, Mike. And yeah, he's set to make a whole ton of money. We can draw the irony there. What a coincidence. or maybe this is just where he is six, seven, 8 years into his career. Jason M., everyone better be thankful for Jones being a true pro and putting this team on his back. Amen to that. Amen to both.
Well, we'll tackle the goaltending situation here first. Right. It was 50-50, at least that's the way it sounded after the Kings game, whether it would be Dennis Hildeby making his NHL debut or whether it would be Martin Jones. They went with Jones because there wasn't any travel with the back-to-back. It was, you know, they were in the same hotel, apparently, you know, LA and Anaheim. And, you know, he had a light night. I don't think it was particularly light, but I don't think that they wanted to start Hildeby with his limited experience against a team, maybe because they're in the second of back-to-back where they weren't a rested team. Maybe he plays against San Jose, although with 2 days off, I think they're probably going to go with Jones against the team that he went to a cup final with a few years ago. So I would like to see Hildeby get in there, but I understand why they're hesitant because he only has 18 games of North American experience. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, they planned on him even seeing the NHL this year. But the situation with Ilya Samsonov really has, it's forced their hand.
Right. And this isn't a novelty act, right? You're not just giving Hildeby a chance to play because, hey, here you go, son. Give it the old college try. I mean, the Leafs are embroiled in, you know, their own turmoil and their own, journey to try to get some consistency going. And if Martin Jones is the hot hand and, you know, he does have some pedigree and the goaltending circumstance has been pretty pear-shaped over the last little while, then you go with who you got. On Jones, Mike, and we can talk a little about Samsonov here in the next few minutes because I have a lot of pathos for him, a lot of empathy, and a lot of sympathy. I just feel bad for the guy, and I hope OGs and converts do too as human beings. But is there a story here, Mike? Like, I know we're all waiting for Joseph Woll to come back, the guy of barely a season in the NHL to be, you know, to take over the reins and become, you know, the number one. He's de facto number one right now. But right. Jones has gone on run. Jones has played in this league. And, you know, he's dipped off a little while, but is there a story here? Maybe Martin Jones is the guy. Maybe this is the kind of thing the Leafs need to kind of detract from, you know, the deficiencies on defense and the way things have started between the net. Maybe this is the unsung hero who's going to come in and kind of grab this team, by the collar and lead it through to wherever it goes.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, the pedigree in terms of a while back is there in terms of him being a good goaltender, but usually when you have 5 years in a row where you have 900 or sub 900 save percentages, which he did with San Jose, and you know that was a San Jose club that went to the Western Conference Final 1 year.
Right.
So it wasn't a bad team, but he did not play well for them the last stretch of his career there, to the fact that he got bought out by San Jose. He went to Philadelphia, which was not a particularly good team, and was a backup and had to play extra minutes or had to play extra games. Then he went to Seattle last year, and he played 48 games for them, and that team made the playoffs, and he had a sub-900 save percentage. And when it came to the playoffs, they went with Philip Grubauer instead of him. So
right.
Do I think that right now this 930 save percentage and 6-3-0 record is for real? No, but right now they're going to ride the wave. I mean, they have no other choice. It's either him or, as somebody called him in the chat, the Hildebeest. And, you know, that's – I think they're going to go – they're going to play Martin Jones as much as they possibly can for one of two reasons. One, they may not think Hildeby is ready. Two, the goaltending market out there, to use the phrase of Elliot Friedman, is pure extortion right now. That, you know, teams – you're not getting a goaltender out there for a mid-round pick. Teams are trying to – you know, hold teams that are looking for goaltenders hostage. And right. If that's the case, in terms of they have a month probably that they have to get through to.
Right.
Now they can't play Martin Jones every game. They have three back-to-backs. They've already had one. They have two more back-to-backs in January, either Hildeby or Samsonov. will have to play the second of those back-to-backs. The rest of the games are spread out enough that if you wanted to go with Jones, you could. And he did play 48 games last year, so he is used to carrying the weight. But, I mean, the Leafs have to really hope right now that the bubble doesn't burst, that he doesn't turn into the pumpkin at 12:01. And if he's a professional, he's playing well. It's very possible that in a short span he could keep playing like this until Wall gets back. But don't fool yourself. When Joseph Wall's healthy, Joseph Wall's the number one goaltender on this team.
Well, you and I predicted that this would become Joseph Wall's team, and it's not that we're telling tales out of school or we're omniscient compared to the OGs and converts. I'm sure many others who follow this team felt the same way. It's just a matter of time now and getting this guy back. OGs converts, if you're watching, how's the feed? Having a little bit of issue with the internet at my place. Of course, it has to happen right when we're doing the program, but them's the breaks. I was flipping through, what the hell's the Barstool or one of the guy, Ryan Whitney or one of these guys. What's the name of their show that they have?
That's the him and Paul Bissonnette.
There we go. And I just flipped Spit and Chicklets. And there was some conversation regarding Austin Matthews and just the pace he's on right now and how many goals he's scoring and how many goals he's scored in his illustrious career thus far. Where is this guy headed, Mike? If he stays healthy and he runs out another 12 years, how many damn goals is this guy going to score? I mean, not to kind of just piggyback on what these dudes are talking about, but I mean, look, that guy, is he not on pace for like 70 goals this year? That's crazy. No.
Yeah, he's got 30 and 35, I believe, or 36. He's on a high 60s to low 70 goal pace, and you know that would put him in the race for the heart probably. Although, the way McDavid and McKinnon and Panarin and a number of other players are playing, it's going to be a very brisk race. But yeah, I hate to keep pointing to this, but right now the Leafs have, I believe, 45 points, and you know they're 45 points, and the Wild Cards have 43 and 42, and Tampa Bay's got 41. So as well as they've played this year and all the overtime and shootout victories, they're only 4 points out of falling out of the playoffs. And that's with Austin Matthews scoring at a 60 some odd.
Do you think the Leafs' plight and their play and their lack of anything emphatic or consistent is overshadowing what Austin Matthews is doing? Because look at Connor McDavid. I mean, the Edmonton's kind of had their fits and spurts and they've gone on runs and they've looked like shit, but he's been amazing throughout. And the question is, sometimes, is this guy wasting his talents in a place he's never going to win? Are we asking that question regarding Austin Matthews in Toronto?
Well, I think as with Edmonton, it's not about the player. It's about the team surrounding the player. And with Edmonton, it's not paying Connor McDavid $12.5 million, which he's worth every penny of. It's the fact that you're paying Darnell Nurse, who's a good defenseman, but not a $9.5 million defenseman. You're paying him $9.5 million. You're paying Jack Campbell $5 million, which most of that is on their cap. It's the money that you've wasted or the money that you've allocated towards areas. And that's again what the problem is with the Leafs. And we'll talk about Nylander in a minute. But you don't want to waste the talent that Austin Matthews has. And the way you don't waste it is you put a team around him that can win a Stanley Cup. And four forwards making $45 million, $46 million, which may be happening at the beginning of next year, is not the way you build a team.
Right. Spike 11. Mike, and Spike's amazing. Thoughts on Nylander? 11 million times 8 seasons. See, so this would make Spike Levin excited and happy if the Leafs offered this kind of contract to William Nylander, and he signed it, just in case no other team offered him more, or that, you know, everybody was offering him less. It justifies the position that William Nylander is holier than thou, and that he's finally going to get paid for, you know, that ascent that he's been on for so damn long, culminating in the season that he's having. There's a lot of justification if the Leafs were going to go and do something like that, but there's a salary cap to contend with. Mastrakis, I'm terrified what happens next year if they sign Nylander to a huge number. They will not be able to get a defenseman. So let's ramify our thoughts and feelings on Nylander with the reality of the financial situation to come. Nylander is not Austin Matthews, and right now he's playing better than Mitch Marner. We can discuss who should be making more or less. Time will tell. We love the guy. In a perfect world, sign him to all the bloody money you want. But we know that this team has deficiencies in places where it needs to spend money. If you continue to spend money up front among, you know, this litany and this glut of great offensive talent, and overdo it with a guy like Nylander, especially committing for so long. Mm-hmm. What do you have left other than this idealistic trade of Marner because we don't like the guy? Like, we don't like him. He's hit his peak. He's careless. So some other team is going to take his big ass contract and sign him to a bunch of money and shoot back a whole bunch of shit that the Leafs need. It's pie in the sky, Mike. So give me your thoughts on the Nylander situation. I mean, he's certainly playing like he deserves the biggest contract of his life. And if he can get it, good for him. If he gets it with the Maple Leafs and it's a crazy number, I'm not so sure it's good for the organization.
Well, I will mark this as where you should mark your YouTube short for.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Now, because the reports out there are not 11 million like Spike 11 just said, but 11.25 million, or as Darren Drager reported this morning, 11.5 million. I think somebody slipped some hallucinogenics in Darren's coffee. But this is the issue. I'm not saying that William Nylander doesn't deserve to get paid, but if he keeps saying, I love Toronto and I want to stay in Toronto, then what are you giving up to stay in Toronto? Because you're clearly not giving up any money. You're clearly getting top dollar. And the problem here is we're not in a system that we were when Matt Sundin was with the Leafs, where you could pay, you know, Gary Robertson, Joe Nieuwendyk, and Ed Belfour, right, and all these guys big money, and there was no cap. There is a cap.
Right.
And that's the issue. Now, coincidentally, the 11.25 million that William Nylander is asking for just happens to be the same amount of money that his good buddy David Pastrnak, who he played hockey in Sweden with, what he's making on his new deal with the Bruins. You tell me, folks, would you trade William Nylander for David Pastrnak? I would every day, including Sunday. That's not saying William Nylander is not a good player. He's a great player. But can they afford him? They cannot afford him. Now, are they going to pay him? Every report says they're going to. But the problem here is you've got four players now, four, at the beginning of next year that are scheduled to make $11 million or more. That's I added it up. It's $46.5 million.
No, Marner's getting traded for a D-man at the deadline. All those Marner minutes and everything he does won't be, absorbed by anybody. And then Nylander's going to sign somewhere else because the Leafs aren't going to pay him. So,
Michael, I'm sure you've got a hotline into Darren Ferris, Mitch Marner's agent, that will convince Darren Ferris and Mitch Marner to waive the no move clause that they have in the contract to go somewhere conveniently to get traded for a defenseman. If I'm Mitch Marner and they sign Nylander to $11.25 million, which is the report, and he goes out and he says, well, I want to get paid like Austin Matthews, and the Leafs say, well, no. What do you think Mitch Marner is going to do? He says, okay, I'll walk away next year. I'll stay in Toronto where my family is. I'll score 100 points with either Austin Matthews or John Tavares. I will walk in unrestricted free agency and I'll stick it up your rear end. That's what he'll do. He's not going to conveniently say, unless there's a team out there that agrees to pay him 8 years at what Austin Matthews is making or close to it. Why, what motivation does Mitch Marner have to waive his no move clause? Absolutely nothing. None.
Right. Jose Duarte, if the Leafs sign Nylander to 11.25, they need to talk to Marner to lift his no trade clause because he can't afford the core four anymore.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the Matthews Nylander show, right? I mean, I have to give it to Nylander's people. They know how to package this guy up and make him look unbelievable. Whereas Marner's people don't exist. He has public relations-wise, 50 to nothing for Nylander. Like, it's remarkable. Four years ago against Boston, he was putting pucks in his own net, not racing back to defend, super lazy, getting benched. The Nylanderites don't care. They love the man. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I got to give him credit. He's at peak right now. And these cats are just, their chest is out and they are boasting like mad. But, I hope there's not disappointment on the horizon for the OGs and converts who are in love with William Nylander beyond his playing skills. Well, I really hope so for their sake.
William Nylander is the spokesman for the TTC, and Mitch Marner is the spokesman for carjacking in the city of Toronto. That's the way things are going right now.
For sure. Let's not get too out of hand. So we've addressed Matthews. We've talked a little about Marner. Ilya Samsonov. As a person, I feel bad for this cat. Isn't there a syndrome for not being able to do something you've always been able to do? Like, this is like, can we equate this to something either in another sport or to a goaltender getting the yips at some point in his career? Can we parallel this to, another kind of tragedy that's happening before our eyes, Mike?
I don't know if it's on the scale of to use baseball comparisons, Chuck Knobloch or Steve Sachs or
right.
Hank Keel, where they did get the yips and they couldn't do what they were supposed to do. It's pretty tough when you're a goaltender and you can't stop the puck. And I mean, unfortunately for Samsonov, that game against Columbus, where they're up 2 goals twice in the second period. And as soon as he let the one goal in, I'm like, here we go. Because it was not something, well, it was a giveaway by Liljegren. No, these goals were on him. And at a certain point, they said, we can't trust to put him back in the net again. I will give Brad Treliving a lot of credit in terms of, they placed him on waivers. We're not going to play him in the AHL. We know he's a good goaltender. We're going to work with him. We're going to have him practice. We're going to basically give him a mental and physical break. He said all the right things, but honestly, I don't know for sure if we haven't seen the last of Ilya Samsonov in a Leaf uniform, meaning I don't know if he ever comes back. He may take a week, 2 weeks, and gets called up and he's back to normal. But honestly, I don't know what changes if all of a sudden in the next game that he plays, lets in a bad goal. All of it comes rushing back. When a goaltender loses it, like Jack Campbell lost it in Edmonton, and I think the reason that they're not playing him playing with the Marlies is directly correlated to what happened with Jack Campbell when Edmonton waived him and sent him down. They sent him down to Bakersfield. They hoped he could straighten out his game. He had a few good games. Then he had a real bad one just before they were going to call him up. Now, if you look at his stats, I think his save percentage in the AHL is under 900 and his goals against is around 3.6. Right. They can't call him up.
When you come through Toronto, you either leave here and get to the promised land or you circle the toilet bowl. It's pretty crazy. Akuma's deception. Marner's people is Hockey Canada, Sportsnet, TSN fawning over him. Stay mad. Akuma, what the fuck are you talking about? I've been smiling and laughing. I'm in a great mood. Your God Nylander is amazing. Marner is playing like crap this year. What are you talking about? Like, we're just breaking down the dichotomy of how these two are viewed. Like, I see. This is exactly what's why social media is fucked, because you're saying one thing and people are seeing something else because they believe in their heart something that you can't reconcile for them properly. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I'm catching you right in the act, dude. Like, you're making no sense. Well, ZM93 Zach Norm, loving the show.
09 Max said back a while, you don't have to put it up on the screen. He was saying that I was wrong about Nylander being traded. If Max remembers, I said once the season started, they weren't going to trade him. It was, he needed to be traded. If they're going to trade him, they needed to trade him before the season started. Once the season started, they were on the road of either keeping him as an own rental through the entire year or signing him. They're going to sign him. Now, like I said, you've got 1 year where Tavares and Marner's deal are still on the books as is, and now you've got the new deals for Matthews and purportedly the new deal for Nylander. That's $46 million, over $46 million on a cap that's probably going to be around 87 or 88. That's over 50%. Yeah. I'd like to know. I'd like the general managers out there in our chat room to explain to me how they put together a team $42 million.
Well, this has gone from Nylander taking a team-friendly raise due to the fact that this year he's showing he's proven that he's due for a raise, 51 points through 35 games or whatever it is, and on pace for 118 points, Michael Matthew, now to making exorbitant money. And this is justification for a lot of Nylander's fans, at least to this point, because nothing's been sealed. Nothing's been set in stone, no pen to paper, none of that shit. Things could change. In all fairness to Akuma's Deception, who has frequented the podcast, they'll re-sign Marner at a modest raise, probably around $12 million. JT either walks or takes a massive pay cut. I mean, again, and it's possible, but, you know, we're all trying to configure things based on how we'd like to see them due to the either love or disdain we have for players.
Yeah,
how does any of our conceptualizations result in the team being better and being positioned to be among the elite to compete for a Stanley Cup and go the four rounds?
But the issue here is next year. It's like you may very well be right. Now, I don't think Marner's taking a modest raise. I think Marner's going to want as close to what Matthews is getting as possible. That's what happened the last time. I have no illusions that Darren Ferris is going to ask for probably close to $13 million a year. But, you know, Tavares probably takes a lot less, not like Giordano, like $800,000, but probably $5, $6 million on a new deal. So, you know, that salary compared to what Nylander gets on his increase, that's a wash. But that 1 year, it's the old contract for Marner and Tavares and the new contracts for Nylander and Matthews. There's an overlap there that there's no way out of unless you trade somebody. And they all four have no move clauses. And so does Morgan Riley. So they can tell you to stick it.
Plastic Bag is back. Just got back from his favorite tattoo artist. Got a William Nylander image on his lower back, tattooed forever. Mike, just admit it. You hate Nylander and be done with it. It's easier to let it out than to mask up your built anger towards him. Okay. What is your problem, Plastic Bag? Like, why are you so immersed in one guy's life? Actually, two. He loves Nylander to the degree where he would, like, stalk him. And he comes to the show to rip on you for this fictional hate towards Nylander. You're pragmatic, Mike, and you're just looking at this team in the reality, in the now. And obviously, we have to, kind of compartmentalize our hopes and dreams with a financial restraint. And, you know, I have not really detected a disdain or a hatred for William Nylander, but Plastic Bag, I mean, this guy is going to set the combo on fire because his his overlord is being chastised and ridiculed by the man they call Michael Paulo Jello. What the hell, Mike? What the hell's wrong with you?
I was going to say, plastic bag, take your name and put it over your head, put a tie around there, and then let nature take its course.
Right.
Yeah, no,
wow. Holy shit. And I thought I was.
Yeah. I do not hate William Nylander, but the Maple Leafs operate on a cap system. And right. I'm looking at the reality. This team will never win a Stanley Cup without them adding at least one, probably two defensemen. And I'm not talking the cheap kind. I'm talking to guys like Chris Tanev, who probably on a new deal gets, you know, $4 or $5 million on a 3 or 4 year deal. They probably need to re-sign TJ Brody and hope TJ Brody takes less money. I don't know whether he's going to stay in Toronto. That's the whole thing. A lot of things are dependent on the goodwill of veteran players to take less. And we've seen nobody takes less when it comes to playing in Toronto. So I don't know if that goodwill is out there. Some of these players that they brought in, right, you know, Simon Benoit has played pretty good over the last little stretch. You know, they got him on a $775,000 deal. Next year, he's going to cost a lot more if they decide to keep him.
Right.
So, you know, where's that money coming from, folks?
Yeah.
Because it's all going to William Nylander right now.
Right. And that's the thing I hate about the salary cap. I mean, a lot of fans are way younger than we are. And everything they've really understood about the NHL has been confined financially because of the salary cap. Us old fogies, I'm 47, guys, so I don't know if that's boomer territory. I'm Gen X, but, you know, I do remember when the Leafs just threw money at people left, right, and center to bring them on to try to help win around. Ideally, I'd love to see Marner get his game back. William Nylander continue to play like this because it's just been amazing. Austin Matthews become one of the greatest scorers that's ever existed. And John Tavares be the guy who's kind of he's over the hill, headed down in terms of his. I mean, Mike, hold on. I don't mean over the hill in terms of him not being good anymore.
Yeah.
And he's not in the twilight of his career. But Mike, you know, he was drafted in 2009. Mm-hmm. It's not as if his best days are ahead of him. Like, you know, being kind of that guy who's going to help the team. And you've even indicated that he may take a team-friendly contract on his next go-round, as opposed to, you know, packing up and playing in Nashville with Ryan O'Reilly and these kinds of guys. I'd love to see it. And then, you know, put a bunch of money into the defense, figure out the goaltending situation. Maybe it's Wall, maybe it's Jones, maybe it's, I don't know, Carey Price reincarnate. Unfortunately, money talks and players walk if they can't get enough of it. And, you know, I'm just skeptical. If William Nylander is building himself into this value that's just exponential, your beliefs Maple Leafs and your beloved deity, this player, this god-like figure in William Nylander, may not be able to come to terms. And you've got to be prepared for it, because if he's playing to a degree where he's going to make stupid money, the Leafs may not be able to pay what he wants and another team may step up and do it. What if that happens, right?
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result and paying four forwards that kind of money and not taking care of the other spots on your team is going to lead to disappointment. It led to disappointment in the Shanahan era. I mean, obviously there's been growth with these players. Austin Matthews is one of the top three or four players in this league. Nylander is having a great year, and he's a very good player. John Tavares, former first overall pick, 1,000 points. He's still a point per game player. Right. Mitch Marner, we know what they bring, but right, more is needed from more players, and you can't add more players when you're spending this much on the four players that are already here.
Put it this way: if Brad Treliving and the intelligentsia determine that Mitch Marner has to go, not because he sucks and fans dislike him. I mean, Michael Matthew and Spike 11, and there's a few others who fucking hate the man, okay? And, you know, if they determine that he has to go because they need to free up coin to sign William Nylander and then get a defenseman and do other things. Fair. No, fair. But there's no way you're going to have a phone call with the Hawks, the Oilers, the, I don't know, pick a team and go, our fans hate Mitch Marner and he's, you know, his best days are behind him. Can you send us over some, you know, top grade defensive help? I mean, it's not going to work that way. So again, I'm all, if they, you trade Marner and keep Nylander and you can then the team can benefit in another way at another part of the ice and this team can take strides forward. I don't care. It's I'm good with it. I'm 100% good with it. I am not here banging the drum on behalf of one player like a lot of fans do. And that's your right. And we appreciate you doing that here on the convo. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Mike, what do you want to say to wrap this thing up?
I don't know.
Wow. Cat got your tongue, brother.
No, I think I vented all my bile on everything. Let's just say this. Auston Matthews was named the All-Star team today. The All-Star, it's a weird situation where they name one player from each team and then they split it up. I think there's 12 spots remaining for each conference.
The NHL All-Star system. Sorry, Mike. The NHL's All-Star system is a disaster.
Well, the All-Star.
It's a fucking disaster, man.
The All-Star game is a disaster. I mean, I may be going to it in Toronto in a few weeks, but it's just not. If it's for the kids, fine.
Right.
It's for the advertisers, fine. But for people who are hockey junkies, it's a terrible, boring
right
game of shinny. And I pride myself in not watching it.
Right.
If I'm covering it, I will be, unfortunately, unless I wear blinders.
You need Wayne Gretzky on one side, Mario Lemieux on the other. One set of dudes wearing a Campbell Conference uniform and the other wearing a Wales Conference uniform and play it old school style. I want to see 8 points from Matthews and, 12 points in the game from Connor McDavid. Do that, go old school, then I would be re-engaged. But, I know that they're trying to stay hip and the sport that has evolved good and bad the most over the last 30, 40 years is the NHL, obviously, with its eye on expanding in the United States for real, right? Spike 11, I'll let him have a word here. I don't hate any player, Norm. Spike, I've kind of grouped you in there because you've been really, 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 really invested in our conversations and you've been fantastic. Certainly a convert. 09 Max. Mike, don't you think Brandon Pridham has outlined a plan for True Living, re-signing these guys and the cap projection? I mean, it's all in place, Mike. Yeah. It's all there. It's all ready.
There is no plan to avoid $46 million for four players. If Tavares and Marner expired next year, then you might have a way around it. You could renegotiate the Tavares taking less. But there's an overlap of a year. So there's no, even if they go out and they try some like trading for a player who's on LTIR, it just doesn't work. You need to spend money on players that you need to bring in and they don't have enough space to do it. So I don't know. I don't see a way. And of course, plastic bag, you love the All-Star game. You can have my ticket. Go ahead. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I love plastic. We're old school minded. We hate
scale. Yeah.
Yeah. Just not complete nonsense. Plastic bag, you're an A1 troll and you're welcome. We do appreciate it. I know a lot of the OGs and converts like you taking shots at us. And we do too. It's all in good fun. Please. It's all in good fun. No death threats, nothing nasty, please. Do the Maple Leafs encapsulate this short Western swing with a win over the Sharks, or will they do something as leafy as they've done in the first two games of this Western run and lose the game we expect them to win?
They almost did against Anaheim. They didn't, but they almost did. And if you remember last year, at one of their low points early in the year. I think they had the West Coast trip early in the year. They lost to Anaheim and they lost to San Jose. So I don't put anything past this team. You would say, based on how good they are and the talent that's there, they should destroy the Sharks. Will they? Watch on Saturday.
Yeah. OG's Commerce, thanks for your participation. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Watch out for the Convo Shorts. Mike is at hockeybuzz.com doing his thing. Of course, I've come out of the broadcast realm and work in car sales now. And with your help, I'm going to have a big 2024. Go to oakridgeford.com. Check out the website. Browse around. See if there's anything that we can get you into, whether pre-owned or new, whether truck, sedan, SUV. When you click the website and interact with our sponsor, that does help some of the monetization of what we do. We don't ask you for a penny. We don't beg and plead for any kind of Patreon or any of that kind of stuff. But when you do interact with our sponsors, it does help the sponsor believe in what we're doing and want to continue to throw a couple of dollars at us so we could make it worth our while completely. Mr. A, I think we'll catch up for the Sunday Spectacular here in the next couple of days. In the meantime, OG's Converts, stay safe. 24 is a rocking and rolling, and I think we're going to have an absolute blast being a part of it. For Mr. Augello, I'm Norm. The Convo is out.